بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation on the book of Tawheed, which is entitled Al-Qawl al-Mufid ala Kitab al-Tawheed, the beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullahi ta'ala. And this is chapter number 6, and in our series it is number 16. In the lecture series it is number 16. The chapter title is Bab Chapter Tafsir al-Tawheed wa Shahadati an La Ilaha Illallah, the explanation of Tawheed and the testimony of La Ilaha Illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. At-tafsir meaning unraveling and explanation and clarification. And at-tawheed has been discussed earlier as to what it means. Now, what is intended here in this chapter is اعتقاد أن الله واحد في ألوهيته. In this chapter, it refers to the meaning that Allah is to be singled out alone in His divinity, being the true God worthy of worship. Only God worthy of worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, wa shahadatu, and then he added the shahada, the testimony, to the title of tawheed. And this conjunction, or the annexation from the grammatical context, is an addition, synonymous. It's not something opposite to it. Because the Tawheed is in reality the testimony of La Ilaha Illallah. Testimony of La Ilaha Illallah. So this is the same meaning. And this chapter is very important chapter. Why? Because after the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, after the author spoke about the Tawheed and its merits and the call for Tawheed, then as if now the self is eager to explain what is this Tawheed? What is this Tawheed which the author rahimahullah tabulated for it all these previous 5 chapters, from the chapters which he spoke about that it is concerning its wujud, obligation, its merits and calling to it. So then comes therefore this chapter, which is a tafsir of the Tawheed, interpretation of the meaning of the Tawheed. Here the author rahimahullah mentions 5 verses in the in the original text. He mentions 5 verses which are an explanation for the meaning of Tawheed. The first verse is in Surah Al-Isra, the Surah Al-Isra, which is chapter number 17. Chapter number 17, verse 57. قال الله تعالى أولئك الذين يدعون يبتغون إلى ربهم الوسيلة أيهم أقرب. Those whom they call upon, like Jesus, son of Maryam, Uzair, Ezra, the angels, these people whom they call desire for themselves means of access to their Lord Allah, as to which of them should be nearest. And they hope for His mercy and fear His torment. Verily the torment of your Lord is something to be afraid of. So this is a great attestation for the futility of their arguments. Meaning, those whom you invoke besides Allah, like Jesus, son of Mary, like Ezra, like the angels, they themselves desire means of nearness to Allah. They themselves are in need of Allah. فَكَيْفَ تَدْعُوهُمْ وَهُمْ مُحْتَاجُونَ. So, what's wrong with you? How come you invite them or invoke them while they themselves are in need of Allah? In fact, this is foolishness. to invoke upon others other than Allah, when these others whom you call, they themselves are in need. Like for example, Jesus, peace be upon him, he himself is in need of Allah. He seeks and hopes for means of nearness to Allah. The angels themselves are a creation of Allah, and they need means of nearness to Allah. And the righteous, these need means of nearness to Allah. So how come you invoke them? Those whom you invoke besides Allah cannot ward off any harm that may befall them, nor they can change it from place to place, because they themselves يدعون يبتغون إلى ربهم الوسيلة أيهم أقرب. They themselves invoke Allah. يدعون يريدون القربى من الله. They need means of nearness to Allah. They seek it. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قال الله تعالى مبينا حال هؤلاء المدعوين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained the condition of those whom people invoke, as in Surah Fatir 35 verses 13-14. والذين تدعون من دون الله والذين تدعون من دونه ما يملكون من قطمير إن تدعوهم لا يسمعوا دعاءكم ولو سمعوا ما استجابوا لكم ويوم القيامة يكفرون بشرككم ولا ينبئك مثل خبير. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those whom you invoke or call upon instead of Allah, or not even a qitmir. What is a qitmir? This is the thin membrane over the date stone. They don't even own that. They don't even own such a thing. If you invoke or call them, they hear not your call. And if in case they were to hear, they could not grant it, your request to you. They can't help you. On the day of resurrection, they will disown your worshipping them. And none can inform you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like him who is all-knower of each and everything. They invoke them. And the types of invocation could be an invocation of request and an invocation of worship, because this is invocation. Dua is of two types. Dua of request, dua u mas'ala, request. The second is dua u ibadah, invocation of worship. Like for example, what is an example for the invocation of request? Take those who invoke Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, Ali ibn Abi Talib. They invoke him at the time of distress. Take those who invoke the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of distress. Like the saying of this poem, Ya Akram al Khalqi, ma li man aludhu bihi siwaka inda huduthi aw inda hulul al hadith al amami. Look about their invocation concerning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what they say in this poem. O you most noble of creation, this is calling Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma li man aludhu bihi siwaka, who is there that I can seek for help other than you? Listen to this. عند حلول الحادث العممي, when a great matter occurs, meaning of difficulty, of hardship, or a calamity. Just think about this. This is a poem widespread in the Muslim world. invoking the Prophet ﷺ, saying that who is other than you to seek at this time of distress? A'udhu billah. The mushrik Arabs, at times of distress, they called Allah. This is one form of request, dua of request. And it could also take the form of dua or ibadah, dua of worship. Like being in a state of humility. If they want to come close to these whom they invoke besides Allah, they humiliate themselves to them, humble themselves to them, or by making vows to them, or prostrating and bowing before them. This is ibadah, this is invocation of ibadah. And all of these things are shirk. Now, what is the relevance of this verse which the author used under this chapter? What is the relevance of this verse? You know, the title of the chapter is Explanation of the Meaning of Tawheed and the Testimony of La Ilaha Illallah. So what's the relevance of this verse which we cited earlier? Those whom you invoke besides Allah, they themselves need to seek means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The relevance is that Tawheed comprises disassociation from shirk. The relevance is that Tawheed comprises disassociation from shirk, from ascribing partners to Allah. بِحَيْثُ لَا يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا, such that the person does not invoke anyone besides or to the exclusion of Allah. Neither a close angel nor a sent messenger. So those who invoke the angels, those who invoke the messengers, did not clear themselves of shirk. Rather, they are indulged in it. And it is amazing and very strange that they invoke those whom they themselves seek means of nearness to Allah, the angels and the messengers and the righteous. They cannot be independent themselves from Allah, the angels, nor the messengers, nor the righteous. So how are they going to be of any help to them, to those whom they invoke besides Allah? Now, this is the first verse and its relevance. The second verse which the author cited is, or the two verses in Surah Al-Zukhruf, chapter 43, verses 26 and 27. The author cited this other verse in order to explain the meaning of Tawheed. And I wish that everyone here in this room take note of these verses. These verses explain the meaning of Tawheed, so that we know of them and invite others to the meaning of Tawheed. يقول الله عز وجل وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ. And remember when Abraham said to his father and his people, إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. Verily I am innocent of what you worship. إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Listen to this exception. I am innocent of what you worship except him who did create me, and verily he will guide me. Subhanallah, yani the disassociation from shirk. So here Ibrahim is telling them, I am disassociating myself from those whom you worship and invoke besides Allah, or to the exclusion of Allah, except, look at this, him, meaning I worship none but Allah who created me. And Ibrahim is a strong in his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and made this very clear to his father and to his people. And his father is Azar. "Those whom you worship," he told them, "I'm dissociating myself from those whom you worship." And ibadah, this is the meaning of worship. It means submission and humility. And he's declaring himself free from this worship they offer to their idols and their statues. And from them we know that they were those who worship the sun and the moon and the planets. Then he came, look at this, disassociation and affirmation. And this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah, isn't it? Disassociation from shirk and affirmation worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing, this is the same verse. He declared himself innocent and free and disassociated himself from all forms of worship offered to other than Allah. And then he said, after the negation came the affirmation. إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Look at this, 27. Except the one who created me, I offer the worship only to him. And this indicates that Tawheed is not perfected unless the person rejects anything or anyone being worshipped or considered to be a deity other than Allah. And then it requires the affirmation, the faith and attestation and the commitment and conviction to this meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who deserves that alone. And that's why we read in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2, this is the meaning of chapter 2, 256, the verse, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Look, same thing, same meanings, asserting the same principle, disassociation from false deities and affirming worship and faith, attesting to that by the tongue and by the heart and on the body parts, worship to be only to Allah. Now, whoever disbelieves, look at this, disbelieves in taghut, false deities in general, and believes in Allah, then he has, look at this, disassociate, disbelieves and believes in Allah, negation and affirmation, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. And on the explanation of the meaning of the taghut, there is, I refer you to the article, the matters that nullify Islam, one's Islam. Go to the site there, please, and check the footnote on the full explanation of the meaning of taghut. It's very important. And the Shaykh rahimahullah continued to say, وَيُوجَدُ فِي بَعْضِ الْبُلْدَانِ الْإِسْلَامِيَّةِ. In some of the Islamic countries, we see there are those who pray, give zakah, and fast, and perform hajj, yet they go to the graves, prostrate and bow to the grave occupants. Those commit kufr, they are not on tawheed, and their actions are not accepted. And this is the most dangerous thing on the Islamic peoples, because the matter of disbelieving in other than Allah is considered nothing to them. It's not that of great importance, and this is due to ignorance from their part, and also due to negligence from their scholars as well, because the common Muslim takes from his scholar. But some and we seek refuge in Allah, the Shaykh added, some of these scholars are state scholars, not the scholars of the Millah, the Deen, not scholars of the Deen. They are state scholars. Now, in the saying of Ibrahim alayhi salam, إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي, except the one who created me. He didn't say except Allah. You see that? Let's have the verse 27 please. إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي, except the one who created me. 27 of 43 please. Yes, look at this. Except him who created me, who did create me. He didn't say Allah. And in this there are two benefits. In this there are two benefits. Number one, this indicates the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped alone. Why? Because if He is the sole creator, then He should be singled out as the true God who deserves to be worshipped alone. Subhanallah. SubhanAllah, how an important benefit may be overlooked when we read the verses in the Quran. Think about it now. Except Him who did create me. He mentioned the fact that Allah is the sole creator. And being the sole creator necessitates that He should be worshipped alone. The second benefit is the indication of the futility in worshipping the images and the statues. Why? Because these images and these statues did not create you. These images and these statues did not create you, did not bring you to existence. And thus, they entail, and this, entails that they should be worshipped. See, this is the other benefit. Your idols, your statues, your images did not create you. The sun did not create you. The moon did not create you. The kawkab, the planet did not create you. So, in these verses, therefore, in these verses, there is the bringing forth the strong argument that combines both negation and affirmation. And this is from the eloquency of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is from the eloquent speech of Ibrahim and the establishment of the hujjah, of the proof. So, what is therefore deducted from these verses is that Tawheed cannot be affirmed and will not occur truly when someone associates any worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it must be sincerely to Allah the Most High. And people regarding this are of three categories. Regarding this matter, people are classified into three categories. They fall into three categories. The first one, those who worship none but Allah, and those who worship others. Besides Allah or to the exclusion of Allah. And others who associate in their worship. Meaning they worship Allah and other than Allah. And the true muwahhid, the true one who is on Tawheed, is the one who falls in the first category. Those who worship none but Allah. So we have covered today three of these verses, and inshallah ta'ala we continue.